Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful special. This is a very familiar position for me to be in, to be introducing our brother Brian. On our trips, I introduce him at least every other day, sometimes more often than that. But I know that he has prepared a message for each one of us tonight, and I'd ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother and apostle, Brian McIndoe.
Thank you, Dwayne. Dwayne was just sitting there, and I was hoping he forgot that I was preaching. He would just continue to sit there. I was going to jump up and introduce him and see if I could get him to preach again tonight, but he was just waiting for everybody to sit down. I was thinking about the sermon that Dwayne preached this morning, and he was talking about the Lord telling you what to do and asking hard things of you, and he asked the question. He said, what would happen if the Lord told me how to move to Africa, you know? And I'll tell you what the first thing came in my mind was, that's not a problem. I'll go right away as long as it's not Nigeria. And unfortunately, that's true. It's some things are just harder than others. And some things are called to do that's hard. And then after that, he proceeded to tell us about a story about a man that was told to leave his town, told to leave his home and all of his possessions. It's the story that begins in the Book of Mormon. Top of my page, guess where I'm going to begin. The story that begins in the Book of Mormon. The story of a family. The head of the family was Lehi. He was a prophet. He warned Israel to repent. You know, he told them, you have to repent. The Lord will come and destroy you. And they wanted to kill him. You know, they had this attitude that a lot of people, you know, have today. You know, you can't tell me what to do. And that's the way they had this attitude towards Lehi and many of the other prophets who were there. So God warned Lehi and his family, says, you got to get out of Dodge. In this case, it was Jerusalem, and he had to leave. He had to leave. And you know the story. I know you know the story because Dwayne read it to you this morning, and so I don't have to read it to you again. The Lord told Lehi, you got to take your family and a few possessions, and you have to go out into the wilderness. Leave everything behind. Go to the wilderness. You know, I had an opportunity to see the wilderness around Jerusalem. And it's a barren, a desolate place for the most part. There's a few areas there that you can get some food. There's some areas you can get water. You know, a few little oases here and there that you can gather these things if you know where they're at. But if you haven't journeyed in the wilderness very much out there, you wouldn't know where they're at. And it would be a difficult and hard thing to do. You know, I often try to put myself in the shoes of Jesus when he went from Galilee to Jerusalem and had to walk across Samaria and stuff like that. I just have great respect for people that did that in those days because it would seem to be such a difficult thing. And here a man's going to take his family and he's going to go into the wilderness because the Lord says, get out of town. You know, if you get out there, I'll tell you what to do. And, you know, you had to be thinking. You know, if the Lord says, get out of town, get out of Phoenix, head out into the wilderness, head out into the desert here, you know, I would be thinking, okay, where do I go? Where am I supposed to go? You know, you get out here a little ways and everything's barren. Okay, I'm out here. Where am I supposed to go? It's a logical question. And I can't help but think that Lehi was thinking the same thing. I'm here with my family, the family that depends upon me, and where am I supposed to go? Well, when we read in the story, we can see that one day Lehi comes out of his tent in the morning. You know, he's headed to the campfire to get him a bagel and some lox and a cup of Yemen tea. And he's ready, you know. He's all ready for this another day out in the wilderness. But there on the ground is this big, shiny brass ball. You know, you don't find those out in the wilderness all the time. But he found one. It was laying right there in his camp, a big, shiny brass ball. And it's a strange-looking thing. It was curious-looking. In other words, he hadn't seen a lot of big, shiny brass balls laying around in the wilderness. You know, he was very curious about it. And it describes it in the scriptures. It said it has two spindles. And these two spindles, one of them, yeah, I had a laugh, you know, it said one of them points the way they're supposed to go. And maybe it's there, but I don't know what the other one did. one of them points the way they're supposed to go in the wilderness. And that's pretty cool. You know, hey, I'm wondering where to go, and all of a sudden there's this big shiny brass ball, and it's going to tell me where to go. It's going to point the way in the wilderness. You know, seven times in the Book of Mormon, it calls this really cool thing. Sometimes it calls it a liahona. Sometimes it calls it a brass ball. But seven times it refers to it as a compass. A compass. You know, sometimes we want to think of it as something a lot more marvelous than that, but it's a compass. And compasses we're pretty familiar with. You know, most of us have probably used them one time or another, or at least seen one, or know that they do something kind of fancy when you move them around. And I had to look up in Webster's Dictionary. You know, okay, what exactly? How would somebody else describe a compass? And I found number 5 in Webster's Dictionary, very interesting. It says a compass is any of various instruments for showing direction. An instrument to show you the direction, that makes it a compass. So if it was just a little needle that pointed to magnetic north or anything else that caused them to know which way to go by the power of God or anything, it's a compass because it shows them the way they are to go. And a compass is a pretty cool thing where you don't know where you're supposed to go. Have something tell you where you are to head. It worked. Lehi and his family, they headed out. You know, a little later in the story, Nephi, he's out ready to hunt, and he finds out he has this fancy bow, and the bow lost its spring. It wouldn't work. You know, it wouldn't shoot an arrow at all. And so it says he found a straight stick, and he made himself another bow. The family was hungry, and they needed to eat. And so he asked his father, he says, okay, father, I got a straight stick here, and I made a bow, and I'm ready to go out and shoot us something to eat, but where in the world do I go out here in this wilderness? Father says, well, I'll ask the Lord. And he asked the Lord, and the Lord said, the compass will tell you where to go. It'll show you where to go. And sure enough, it showed him where to go to find these animals, to find this game that he should shoot. So God referred Lehi to the brass ball, to the compass. Here's what Lehi said about it. 1 Nephi chapter 5, verses 29 through 34 says, and I said unto my father, whither shall I go to obtain food? And it came to pass that he did inquire of the Lord, for they had humbled themselves because of the word. For I did say many things unto them in an energy of my soul. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto my father, and he was truly chastened because of his murmuring against the Lord, insomuch that he was brought down to the depths of sorrow. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord said unto him, look upon the ball, and behold the things which are written. Exclamation point. The things that are written. And it came to pass that when my father beheld the things which were written upon the ball, he did fear and tremble exceedingly. And also my brethren and the sons of Ishmael and their wives. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the pointers which were on the ball, which were in the ball. And they did work according to the faith and the diligence and the heed which we did give unto them. Three things made this compass work. Faith, diligence, and heed. It says, if we use those three things, it worked. You know, when I thought about that, you know, something that's going to point us the direction we're supposed to go. Something that's going to tell us what we're supposed to do. It's a compass. But to me, if the description that Webster gave us, an instrument showing us the direction equals a compass, then this is a type. This is a type for us to remember. We're not talking about a brass ball. We're not talking about going to the sports store and finding a needle that points north in a little brass box. We have other things that show us the way. And just like it says here, they behold the things that were written. We have a compass. We have to look at the things that are written. They show us the way to eternal salvation. But just like Nephi described, we have to use three things. We can have these books. We can have them sitting right there on our shelf, and we can say every day to everybody we see, we believe them. But do you have faith? Do you have diligence? And do you have heed to what's written in them? And if you do, then they will point you in the way of eternal life. But if you don't have those three things, you're just going to wander in the wilderness. You're just going to wander and you're going to be lost. So I thought about these three things. You know, what's funny is that there's a reference that this sermon I'm giving is leading up to a reference that I was going to expound upon to be my sermon. Well, I got so involved in this, I decided not to use that reference, and I'm just doing this part of it. So now I got another sermon for another day. But I was intrigued by this. Faith, diligence, and heed. And faith, we know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope for. You know, if you were out in the wilderness, you would hope to find your way out. You would hope to find the way that you are supposed to go. For evidence of things not seen. You know, if you were in the wilderness and you saw the city or you saw the place you were supposed to go, you're not hoping anymore. You just go. So you hope for it, but you can't see it. And that's the way we are with our salvation. If we're trying to find our way, and if we can see our target, then it's not faith anymore. We don't see our target. We hope for it. We believe in it. We have faith in it. If you already know the direction, you're not putting your faith in the instrument because it doesn't require faith. It has knowledge. And so this tool, this instrument that guides our way, we have to believe in it even though we cannot see it because we have hope. It will bring us to the point, to the target that we want. It delivers us out of this wilderness in which we live. And it requires faith. And we have to trust in it over our own will, over our own knowledge, over our own understanding. We have to believe it beyond our own knowledge, beyond our own instincts, beyond our own desires. You know, and that's not always easy to do because we as people have instincts. We have desires, and sometimes we think we know what's going on. And so we don't necessarily think we need to refer to the compass. You know, I can think about one time that I was using a literal compass, an actual compass, and this compass was a matter of life and death. Per se, because I was out 40 feet under the ocean, and it was nighttime, and it was dark, and I could see about 4 feet in front of me. That's it. But we were out there swimming around, and we're running out of air, so it was time for us to go back to the beach. So I told everybody, just wait. You know, there was a couple people, and I said, wait. I'm going to go up, and I'm going to see where the beach is. And I'll take a compass heading right on where our camp is at the beach. So we can just follow that compass heading and go right back. We'll swim underwater and come out on the beach right at our camp. Makes it really easy. So I went up 40 feet to the surface, and there's our camp. Looked on my compass, you know, it was 360 degrees. It was dead north. Dead north, an easy course to chart, you know, an easy compass heading. So I let the air out of my vest, and I sunk back down, and I told everybody, follow me. Here we go. And I started swimming. You know, I just saw our camp. I started swimming. And we're swimming along underwater, 40 feet underwater. And things didn't seem right. I could feel more pressure on me. I looked at my compass, and it said I was going straight south. But I had just seen my camp, and I know what direction it is, and it was this way. So we just kept swimming. Something wrong with this compass. Pretty soon I noticed we're getting deep. Now we're 60 feet deep, you know. Well, obviously, I didn't put my trust in that compass. That compass is going to point straight north. All I had to do is follow that needle. But I didn't trust it. I thought my instincts, my eyes, my gut feeling, I knew better than the compass. Well, you know, the fact that I'm standing here preaching today meant I turned around and I went the way of the compass. And sure enough, we followed that compass and we came right out of the beach, right at our camp, and everything worked fine. But you had to have faith. I didn't. I didn't have faith in that compass. I thought it was wrong because I had just seen with my own eyes the right way to go. How many times we look at the scriptures, we go, you know, I know Jesus said to do it this way, but that just doesn't seem like the right way to go. That's going to make this person mad. You know, that's going to be too hard. You know, we start thinking with our own minds, our own instincts, and boom, we're going the wrong way. We're on the wrong course. It's going to lead us to destruction. And so we have to have faith. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double man is unstable in all of his ways. Ask in faith. Believe, if you ask, that the Lord will give you the right way. And when he does, don't waver about it. Accept it, use it, follow it. He's already given us the right way in the written word of God. We can't waver, we can't teeter-totter on his word. We have to follow, we have to believe that it is the right way. If we're double-minded, if we think, okay, sometimes Jesus is right, and sometimes I'm right, then we're unstable. We're not going to hit our course. We're not going to find the target. Because we're unstable in all of our ways. Many people lack faith, as they did in the days of old. They lacked faith. Some people did. The Book of Mormon refers to a Bible story of Moses and the children of Israel. They had to exercise their faith. They had to exercise their faith when they were wandering through the wilderness. And all of a sudden, they come upon this whole, I don't guess snakes aren't herds. What are a bunch of snakes called? Who knows? You know, a slither of snakes, I guess. Everywhere they look, there's these fiery serpents, and they're biting them. You know, that sounds pretty awful to me because I don't like snakes to start with, you know. And so the Lord says, here, I'm going to tell you what to do, Moses. You build this staff, and you put this image of a serpent on it, and when the people get bit, the rule is, the way is, if they look upon that with faith that they can be healed, they won't die. They won't die. Quite a simple little thing. Very easy. I don't want to die. I got bit by a snake. All I have to do is look at that. And there it is. There's my way of salvation, my way of redemption from this bite. There's the cure. But let's see. You know, one of our authors in the Book of Mormon tells us about that story. Let's turn to 1 Nephi chapter 5, verse 133 through 135. He says, wherefore he did bring them out of the land of Egypt, and he did strengthen them in the wilderness with his rod, for they hardened their hearts even as ye have, and the Lord straightened them through their iniquity. He sent fiery serpents among them, and after they were bitten, he prepared a way that they might be healed. And the labor which they had to perform was to look. Boom, there it is. That's it. Not very hard. And because of the simpleness of the way and the easiness of it, there were many who perished. Now, what's that say to you? You know, it's kind of tough. You got to kind of read between the lines there. It was simple. It was easy. They had a look at this serpent on a rod. And it says, because it was simple, many perished, which means they refused to look. They wouldn't look. They wanted to complicate matters. They wanted something more difficult than that. That wasn't good enough for them, the plan of God, that you look at this and you will live. It was too simple, and they wanted to complicate it. You know, sometimes we think that Christians make this broad path for their converts and their people to follow, because it makes it easier. These new ideas of the Christian world are certainly are making it more complicated for people, you know. You think about they're taking away the doctrines of Jesus Christ. They're taking away the plans. They're telling people you can do anything you want. You can go anywhere you want. God's going to save us all, you know. In some ways, you think, wow, they're making this plan of salvation. They're telling people this plan of salvation is really easy. And that's why the Lord says it's a broad path, you know. You're trying to get through a door. If it's a little tiny door, it's difficult. It's a broad door, it's hard. But in many ways, They're complicating the Word of God and the plan of salvation. People don't want to believe the simple way, the plan that is there, the plan that God had placed before us. He says, all you have to do is do these things. But they want to complicate it. And they have complicated it because they have put out there in those worlds so many ideas and so many untruths that people are confused and they don't know which way to go any longer. That's why they bounce from church to church to church, looking for the right way, looking for the plan that is right. They're not even sure, as we know in our Sunday school class, what Bible they're supposed to read. They don't know. It's complicated. People have to fix it. It's not even broken, but they have to fix the plan of salvation. They debate over the teachings of Jesus Christ. They debate on which words are the words that he said. Well, you know, if you're looking in your Bible and you got a red letter edition, you go, okay, I'm going to read you the words of Christ. Well, no, this is red page, but I can't read that one. What can I read? Well, I don't know. That's complicated. It's complicated. Why? Because now you don't know what Christ said and what Christ didn't say. The compass. The scriptures point to us the way of salvation. The Word of God reveals to us what is required, the path that we have to walk. And we must not waver, but we must believe and we must trust. They point us to the target. Faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God. Faith that He did die for our sins. Faith in the plan of salvation through His sacrifice. Faith that God's Word will direct us to eternal life and tell us all things that we must do. And so the first part of this compass, this is an instrument to show us the way to go. The first part is we have to have faith. We have to believe these words. And if we don't believe them, it won't take us there. It is required. The second thing is diligence. You have to have diligence to it. They had to have diligence to their compass. You have to chart your course. You take a heading, you take a reading, you say, this is the way I'm going to go. But as you're going, you have to refer back to that compass, and you have to evaluate your course. Are you correct? Are you on course? Have you varied off? Do you have to make an adjustment to get back on course? And you have to do it constantly. Constantly. You can't say, I have faith in these books, I have faith in the Word of God, but you have to measure your course of your life against the words that are written, against the compass. Constantly. If you just take a heading and you head off, pretty soon you'll be out. When I was doing it underwater, you know, currents would move me. I could swim a little stronger with my right leg than my left leg and go a little off. You know, all kinds of things can go wrong. You have to refer over and over again to your compass. And you have to correct your course. Everybody gets off course. We all get off course spiritually from time to time. But the Lord allows us to come back to Him, to find in His Word, to find where we're off, and to correct those things and put ourselves back on the right track. So we have to refer constantly. We have to be diligent. You know, I'm going to turn to 2 Nephi. I've got it on my paper right here. You turn to 2 Nephi chapter 13, verses 27 through 30. Actually, I am going to turn to it because I'm not going to read it all at one time. Very, very common scripture that you've heard. I've used. Funny thing is, I can safely say I've probably used it hundreds of times. Beginning in verse 27. It says, "And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into the straight and narrow path," okay, you got your compass heading, you're on the path, "I would ask you, if all is done," is all done. You know, Dwayne was telling you about Nigeria today, and I don't know if he saw this or not, but when we're driving to the road to Ibadan, actually we were driving from Ibadan to Mo, but that probably doesn't mean much to you, there's a big, great big church there. And there's great big billboards advertising along the road. You want to guess what the name of the church is? It's All Done Church. Come to this All Done Church. Man, the second, did you see that sign? The second I saw that, I had a laugh. You know, I took it and I wrote it down in a little note in my Book of Mormon. You know, the All Done Church in Nigeria. You know, unfortunately, so many people believe in that. You know, there's a church where everything's done. Everything's done. Well, if you've read this scripture as many times as I have, you know what Nephi is going to say about this. He asked, "Is all done?" So let's continue reading verse 28. "Behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, save it were by the words of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with steadiness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God for all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." No, it's not all done. We have to be diligent in following that compass. Diligent. Webster says that is steady effort, painstaking effort. Peter said, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure." What's your election? It's to be one of the children of God, the bride of Jesus Christ. Have eternal salvation. That is your election. Make sure that you are going to get it. And Peter said you have to be diligent in receiving that. And so that's why the Nephi, he said, you know, is all done? No, it's not all done. We have to feast upon the words of Jesus Christ. We have to be diligent in returning to them, recharting our course, examining the course that we're on and correcting the errors that we've made and put ourselves back on course. Let's continue reading in verse chapter 14. You can't stop there. You got to drop down to chapter 14. Read verses 1, 4, and 6. Verse 1, it says, "And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after you have entered in by the way." Verse 4, "Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ shall tell you the things which you should do." Diligence. Referring back to the words of Christ. Not just occasionally. Feast upon them. Always absorb them. Take them in. Verse 6. "For behold, again I say unto you, that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you the things which you should do." And so we have to have faith in the compass, the scriptures. We have to be diligent to refer back to them and put ourselves back on course. And then it says, the last one, the third one, heed. We have to heed it. Once you plot your course, you have to follow it. You have to follow it. You can't just have it. You can't just refer to it. I mean, I could stand in one spot and say, that's the way to the door to go outside. That's still the way to the door to go outside. It hasn't changed yet, but if I don't start moving in that direction, I will never reach the door. So we have to move it. We have to put this faith and this heat into practice and move our way through this life, just like they moved through the wilderness. You can be the best navigator in the world, but if you do not travel, you'll get nowhere. You got to travel. We got to travel through this life. And you have to be careful. There's one thing that'll get in your way faster than anything else. When a venture, guess what it is? You. Yourself. Myself. We will get in our way. We'll try to rationalize, tell ourselves, this is not the way to go. We don't have to move yet. We don't have to heed this yet. But we have to. Don't let your wisdom, don't let your knowledge, don't let your understanding keep you from following the very plan of God. That's what the churches are trying to do this day. They are trying to move you away from the plan of God to a higher intellectual mankind. Guess what? Mankind is not more highly intellectual than God or Jesus Christ or the Word of God. And so we have to heed the Word of God and follow that path. 2 Nephi chapter 6, verses 58 through 59. This is actually where I was going to begin my sermon, and you can see why I'm not. But I am going to read it. It says, "Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God. For they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore their wisdom is foolishness, and it profit them not, and they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if they hearken unto the counsels of God." You know, to be learned is good. To study is to good. To understand the concepts of this life, to understand the workings of this body and the things of this world is good if you follow the counsels of God. But if it makes your mind and your belief think that you know more than the Lord, you're not heeding the compass. You're not following the path. It will take you on the wrong direction, the way of destruction. So in the conclusion, this compass, this liahona, this curious ball, it's a type, it's an example for us today. And Alma told his son Helaman that same thing. Let's turn to Alma chapter 17. We're going to read verse 71 through 73. It says, "And now my son," he's talking to Helaman, "I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our father called a ball or director. For our father called it liahona, which is being interpreted a compass. And the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to show our fathers a course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God." Now I'm going to jump down to verse 77 through 82. "Therefore they tarried in the wilderness, or did not travel a direct course, and were afflicted in hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. And now, my son, I would that you should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to the compass, now these things were temporal, they did not prosper. Even so it is with things which are spiritual." And so here it is, it's a shadow, it's a representation of something else. He said, that was physical, but it's true with the spiritual. The Word of God is our spiritual compass. It's a thing to show us the way, and he says, it's true with the things which are spiritual. "For behold, it is easy to give heed to the Word of Christ, which will point you on a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to the compass, which would point them in a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is this not a type of this thing? For just as surely as the director did bring our fathers, by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond the veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. Oh, my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so was it with our fathers. For so it was prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that you take care of these sacred things. Yea, see that you look to God and live. Alma makes a point. This marvelous instrument that Lehi found on the ground was a type of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. The restored gospel, the saving gospel of truth. Today, the world does not have the faith to believe the words of their Bible. They're not diligent. They're not giving heed. But they're altering the commandments to suit the man's desires, and they reject. They're rejecting the very fullness of the gospel. They don't want it because it puts down their false doctrines, just as it was prophesied in the Book of Mormon. That's why the Lord brought it forth in the last days, because we live in a time where there will be deception all around us, and we have the fullness of the gospel. And it's a type of this compass. It will show us the correct path. 2 Nephi 11:29, it says, wherefore, he, as God, will proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder among the children of men. It's a prophecy about something that will come, a marvelous work and a wonder. I'm going to go to 2 Nephi 11:145. It says, for behold, I am God, and I am a God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I will work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. Here in this prophecy that Nephi is giving, he's quoting Isaiah. But this part was a little different. That's why I'm reading it out of the Book of Mormon. But out of Isaiah chapter 29, verses 14 through 15, is the same as what I'm going to read here in verse 146 through 48. He's going to talk again about this marvelous work and a wonder that is going to come forth in the last days that we know is the Book of Mormon. It says, and again it shall come to pass that the Lord shall say unto him that shall read the words that shall be delivered unto him. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men, therefore I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Here he says, you know, people are going to start following doctrines of men. They're going to honor him with their lips, but their hearts are going to be far away. So he's going to do something special in the last days, a marvelous work and a wonder. It says, yea, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise and the learned shall perish. And the understanding of their prudent shall be hid. And woe unto them to seek to hide the counsels from the Lord. He's going to bring forth this gospel that is going to tell us and remind us that the Bible is true, that the Word of God is true, that we can follow it and use it to bring us to eternal salvation. Let's go to verse 155 and 156. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness, and the meek shall increase, and their joy shall be in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. You know, it says in the time when people are going to be falling away from the Lord, when their lips are going to be saying, we believe, but their false doctrines, their false ideas are taking them away. He is going to do something great. And we know that was in the 1800s when he brought forth the Book of Mormon. And it says, the blind are going to be able to see. Those that didn't understand their Bible are going to be able to see out of that obscurity and see the truth once again. They're going to be able to see out of the darkness that's in the world. And it says, and the meek are going to increase their joy. Our brother talked about joy this morning. They're going to increase their joy. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And he talks about the meek. He means the humble and the willing to do the will of God. And the poor, which is the poor in spirit, that rid themselves of their own self and their own desires and their own wants in this life and choose to follow God and follow God's laws. He says, they are going to rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And so it's a prophecy of the Scriptures that will keep us on that path. It came forth no less marvelous than that shiny brass ball outside Lehi's tent in the morning. No less marvelous. It came by the power of God to show us the way. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 17 through 23. But a seer will raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and unto him will I give power to bring forth my word unto the seed of thy loins. And not to bring forth my word only, saith the Lord, but to the convincing them of my word, which shall have already gone forth among them. Convince them of the Bible. Wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which was written by the fruit of thy loins, and also that which was written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together, shall be as one, unto the confounding of false doctrines. The world is full of them. But we have the truth. And they're put down. And laying down contentions and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins, and bring them to a knowledge of their fathers in the latter day, and also to the knowledge of my covenant, saith the Lord. We have this marvelous instrument, this marvelous compass to show us the way and show us the truth and have no doubts of the truth of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. When I was reading in the Scriptures, I saw that there were three things that corrupt modern churches of today. Three things. Just like we have to give faith, diligence, and heed, there's three things that we have to do. There's three things that will corrupt a church. And it can corrupt any church. It has corrupted others, and we have to make sure it does not corrupt ours. And I'm going to turn to 2 Nephi chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. And of course, these corruptions come because you're not following the compass. So let's read that. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after a manner of false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their work shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way. They have all become corrupted because of, one, pride, and because of false teachers, and because of false doctrines. Their churches have become corrupt, and their churches are lifted up because of pride, and they are puffed up. Pride. Their wisdom and their knowledge in themselves is above that of God. They're not given faith to the Word of God that it is the way. It's pride. False teachers. They're not called of God. Even though the Bible tells us clearly a minister has to be called of God. He says it's false teachers. Men that choose that profession themselves. And usually in a lot of countries, a lot throughout this world, it's because they want to earn money with it. And it will corrupt them. And false doctrines. Doctrines of devils. Things that make an easy, broad path for men to walk in their own ways. But it complicates the Word of God. This is the way of the world today. Not willing, not humble followers. But we have the Scriptures. We have the Liahona. We have the compass. We have the marvelous work and a wonder, a great miracle that God has given us as the tool, as the compass, to that points us in the direction of eternal life. But we must have faith, we must have diligence, and we must give heed to them to be successful in our journey. May God bless us in that effort. Thank you.